We've been in a series called What Do You Think? What do you think? Proverbs tells us that as a man thinks, so is he. The book of Romans tells us that we need to renew our mind. And if you have a Bible, though, you can turn to John 16. I'm also going to be looking in Galatians 5 if you want to hold your place there. John 16 and Galatians 5. But what do you think? In response to the reason for this, sometimes it's very important to, not sometimes, most of the time, I can't think of any time that's not important, to ask why. Why are we doing something? Why are we doing this series? And I really felt like the Lord had put it upon my heart that this year, 2019, is going to be a year really of emotional health and inner healing in our church and in your lives personally. And I think that sometimes if we think we're doing okay, quite often that's when we probably are not doing as fine as we think we are. And so this is something that we all need. I've gone through a season of that. And so a lot of the stuff that I'm bringing is just kind of fresh for me too. I'm walking through it with you. And in fact, part of the reason I wanted to bring some of these messages is just for personal reasons as well, because I learn it better when I teach. And but I've been asking you, what do you think? What do you think about God? What do you think about love, specifically God's love? What do you think about grace we talked about last week? Because what we think often is going to determine how healthy we are on the inside, emotionally and spiritually. What you think about God will really determine how close you get to Him. And yet He's the one that heals us on the inside. And so we need to get close to Him. We need to be very tight with Him. We are able to have a personal relationship with God because of His love and because of His goodness and because of His grace. If you think God is upset, frustrated, disappointed, or angry, or mad at you, you're going to keep your distance from Him. But when you realize how good He is, how good His love is, and how much He loves you, and it's not based on feelings like we often associate love to be. It's not based on how He feels about us. He's crazy about you. I just want to tell you that. But it's not, His love is not based on how He feels about you. It's something that He gives freely to us. He says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never turn His heart away from you. He will never reject you. He loves you that much. And His grace is sufficient, the Bible says. It's because of His grace that we can come into His presence, that forgiveness that was purchased at the cross. We didn't get what we deserve. We deserved hell, but because of Jesus, Jesus took what we deserved and we got what He deserved. And that's the great transfer of salvation. That's what grace really is. And so what we think about these things sometimes determines how close we're going to get to God, if we're going to come into His presence. I want to end this message, this series today, with what do you think about the Holy Spirit? What do you think about the Holy Spirit? We just sang about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. I think that's the lyric. If I might have messed up and muddled it there just a little bit, but you get the picture. Let me ask you personally, though, you don't have to answer out loud, but just think about the question. What do you really think about the Holy Spirit? When I said Holy Spirit, or when we sang it for the first time today, when you heard those two words put together, Holy Spirit, what's the first thing that comes to mind usually? In your life, what's the first thing that you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit? Depending on your background, depending on your church background, depending on maybe different experiences you may have had in your past, the Holy Spirit, what you think of the Holy Spirit, thoughts of the Holy Spirit, could differ for many different people. For some, maybe when you heard the term the Holy Spirit, maybe you came from sort of a background, a church, where they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit very much. Or maybe you went to a church where that church was all about the Holy Spirit. You know, and so both sides could have different ideas, different thoughts about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you thought of some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When I said the word the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit brings gifts into our lives, and one of those gifts is the gifts of prophecy. Another one of those gifts is the gifts of the gift of tongues and speaking of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so maybe when I said the Holy Spirit, maybe one of the first things that came to your mind was one of those gifts. Maybe you thought about someone who was just overwhelmed by the very presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they just couldn't stand. They just fell to their knees, or they just fell over as if they fainted. Or maybe they started laughing or jumping for joy, or maybe they wept uncontrollably. I've seen people who, in the name of the Holy Spirit, they just take off running. Some of you giggled at that. You know, I could tell you stories, but anyway, but I don't know what you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit, but maybe some of you in here today, you don't have really any background in this. And so this whole idea of the Holy Spirit is foreign to you a little bit. You don't know what to think. Whatever it is, whatever your experiences are, whatever your background is, whatever you think about the Holy Spirit, I want to challenge you today to start thinking a little differently, okay? And that is not to negate anything that you've, any experience that you've had in the past, especially if it was a positive experience. I'm not trying to say it was wrong or it was bad. I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm just saying maybe there's more. Maybe there's more to this topic, this subject of this person, this being called the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about what we think about the Holy Spirit today, because I feel like it is vitally important for us to understand how this relates to our emotional health and our inner healing, our spiritual health. How we think is so important. So what do you think of the Holy Spirit? Number one, let's look at this today. Number one, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is not an it. He's not an aberration. He's not a wispy vapor. He is God. He is the third part of the Holy Trinity. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. We see all of these all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. This is not something that's just in the New Testament, by the way. But we see this truth that the Holy Spirit is God throughout the whole Bible, the entirety of the Bible. But I want to give you just one verse here, and this is a pivotal one because this is where Jesus shows up. In Luke chapter 3, you don't have to turn there today, but let me just show this to you. Verse 21, it says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized." So this is Jesus, God the Son. "And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him." So there's God the Holy Spirit. "And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" That's God the Father. So all throughout Scripture we see that, but this is a pivotal point, where we see all three being mentioned in one particular setting. And I want to tell you, a lot of people are thrown off by this, that God can show up in three different forms, in three different ways. I feel like I've been blessed in some ways because this has just never really been a problem for me. I don't know why. It's not that I have some divine revelation that I'm wiser than everyone else. I'm not saying that. It's just never been really that big of an issue for me. I've never had a hard time or been confused by this fact, but I know a lot of people are. They're thrown off by this fact that God can be one in three, and three in one. I've never had a problem with that. I've heard people say, "How is that possible?" And then I've heard other people try to explain this, and I've heard a lot of good explanations for it, but then I've heard for every explanation for it, or every definition, or for every allegory to try to clear this thing up, I've heard people criticize those too and say, well, that's just too simplified or whatever, or it's just a ridiculous analogy. I think whatever can help shouldn't be criticized sometimes. I've heard people compare it to cherry pie. Have you ever heard the cherry pie analogy? Do y'all know what cherry pie is? It's pie, but it's got this cherry filling that fills the whole inside of the pie. If you cut that pie in three different slices, in thirds, you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it's all cherry and goo all in the side. One of my favorites has been H2O. What is H2O? Water. It's a liquid. But what happens when it gets really cold and freezes? It's ice. But is it still H2O? But what happens if it gets really hot and steam comes up? That steam, is that still H2O? Yes. Yes. So it's H2O, the liquid. It's H2O, the solid. And it's H2O, the gas. But it's still H2O. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but He's still God. Every one of these analogies has people who criticize it, and other people say, oh, I finally get it, you know. But here's my favorite. And this is me personally, okay? This is my own analogy today. I am Keith. I am Keith the son. I had parents. So I was their son. I am Keith the son. But I'm still Keith. I am Keith the husband. I'm married. I don't know where my wife is today. She's putting together a children's program. Oh, there she's in the back today. Would you like to come sit up front? Are you comfortable back there? Oh, is there something going on? Do we need to talk? You good? Okay. All right. But I am Keith. I'm Keith the son, but I'm also Keith the husband. But I'm still Keith. And I'm Keith the father. But I'm still Keith. In fact, there's a whole lot more to my personality. I got multiple personalities. I'm Keith the nephew. But I'm also Keith the uncle. Go figure. I have an uncle and I am an uncle. But I'm still Keith. I'm Keith, your pastor. Aren't you happy that your pastor has multiple personalities? Okay. God is God the Son. He's God the Father. He's God the Holy Spirit. But He's God. And the Holy Spirit is God. Don't overcomplicate this. Don't be thrown off about this. But I do believe that there is a revelation that is often given into the life of every believer, really, where it just becomes accepted. It becomes understood that the Holy Spirit is God. So that's my first point today. My second point, though, is this. And this, you had that scripture on. Okay, way to go. The Holy Spirit is God. But number two, the Holy Spirit is God with us today. Now, this is why sometimes people get a little bit nervous. This is one of the reasons, and there's other ones I'm going to talk about here in a minute, but this is one of the reasons people get a little nervous when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, because maybe they don't realize or consciously, but maybe it's a subconscious thing, but what we're talking about now is God with us today, showing up in our lives. Getting real, right up in our grill, right up in our kitchen. God is real and He's showing up in your life. And all throughout the Bible, people had a problem with this. You go way back to the Old Testament and you see people who, when God would show up and manifest His reality, manifest His presence, they would freak out. They would be afraid. In fact, when He did this with Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness and His presence came down on the mountain there, that mountain of God, and There was smoke, the Bible says, and there was thunder and there was lightning. And the people were afraid. They said, we don't want to go up there. We don't want to get, and God wanted them to come up into his presence, and they rejected him, said, no, we're going to send a representative. Moses, you go up. We're going to stay down here. We like God, but we're going to keep him at a distance because he frightens us. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit has just now come into our lives, and he's here with us today, and that is still God. He is still God in our lives. And so that's why sometimes people get a little nervous about this. But the Holy Spirit is not here to hurt us. The presence of God is not here to judge us. He's not here to hurt us in any way. He is here to help us. This whole series has been about obtaining the inner healing that we all need in life. And the way to do that is to get with our healer, to get with God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the one who heals. But here's the thing you need to understand. You cannot come to God except through Jesus. That's the grace that I talked about last week. The finished work on the cross. He took the punishment for our sin. And that's grace. And he gave us his righteousness. So now that we are forgiven, we are accepted in the presence of God. God is the one who heals, but we can't get to God except through Jesus, and that's grace. But guess what? We can't get to Jesus except by the Holy Spirit draw us. I mean, the Holy Spirit's the one that negotiates the whole deal. He's the one that draws us. He's the one that convicts our hearts. He's the one that draws us to salvation. And so I want to read this scripture to you out of John 16 today, because we need the Holy Spirit. Many people are believers. They are Christians. They have put their faith in the finished work of Jesus at the cross, and they are saved. And yet they have no idea that it's the Holy Spirit that was at work in their life doing this whole thing. We need the Holy Spirit. You really need him. He is God with you today. Towards the end of Jesus' ministry on the earth, he met with his disciples, and we're going to look at this in John 16 here. He met with them one last time before he went to the cross. And he could have talked about a lot of things, and there were a few different things that he talked about in there. That's where he talked about, he gave us that command to love one another, and that was an important thing that he gave us. But if you read that whole conversation, starts around John 14, 15 and 16. If you read the whole conversation that he has with his disciples, he talks more about the Holy Spirit than anything else. And he says, he's telling them, I'm about to leave. I'm about to leave. You're going to see me arrested. You're going to see me beaten. You're going to see me falsely accused, and you're going to see me die. He says, but I'm not really leaving you. He said, this is actually a good thing. This is what's going to give you the opportunity to come into my presence and to be saved and to be healed. But then he says, I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm going to send my Spirit to you. This is a good thing. The Holy Spirit is God with us today, and we need him. So let's look at this now in John 16, verse 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This Helper he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. I'll show you that in just a minute, but he's already talked about it before. He's already made that clear, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We all need help. How many of you need help from time to time? Okay, we all need help. We all need healing. Now, this next part is what I really want you to see. And I want you to think about what you think of God. And what you think of God can really mess you up if you don't understand this. Verse 8, it says, and when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, if you have a wrong idea about God, if you have wrong thoughts about God, if your concept of God is that he's frustrated, disappointed, angry, mad, then here's how you're going to read that verse. You're going to read it as God's condemning me, calling me a sinner, said if I don't get my life right, he's going to judge me and send me to hell. If that's your idea of who God is, then that's how you're going to read that verse. But that's not what it says at all. It says the Holy Spirit does not come to condemn. The Holy Spirit comes to convict. The word convict, let me tell you a better way that doesn't sound so harsh, because that kind of sounds hard. Convince is a better way to read it. The Holy Spirit comes to convince, to draw you, to woo you, to convince you of a truth that maybe you haven't seen before. And so what this is saying is the Holy Spirit convinces you that you are a sinner and you're separated from God and you need to be saved. He also convinces you of the righteousness that can be yours now through Jesus Christ, not in your own righteousness, lest you should boast, what we talked about last week, but because of grace. He convinces you that you can be right before God because of Jesus. And he convinces you that the one who is keeping you held in bondage has been judged and you can be free. You no longer have to be under the bondage of Satan anymore. That's really what this is talking about. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes and woos your heart, convinces you that you can be right before God, that you can be saved. And not only that, you can be free. You can have that inner healing that you need in this life. If just to make this abundantly clear, look at verse 9. It says, the Holy Spirit comes to convince us of sin because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit convinces you that you need Jesus, in other words, that you put your faith in Jesus. Verse 10, of righteousness, he convinces us of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, his work on the cross is complete. It was enough to save you, to set you free. And then the Holy Spirit, verse 11, convinces you of judgment because the ruler of this world, that's the devil, is judged. You are no longer under now the control of Satan. This is what the Holy Spirit does. People who are saved but don't want to have much of anything to do with the Holy Spirit, they don't even realize that it's the Holy Spirit that drew them to Jesus in the first place. Because the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one and the same. The Holy Spirit and God are one and the same. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is with us today. And this is what he does. He draws us into this relationship with God. He introduces us to Jesus. We need it. And can I just go ahead and tell you this? I went ahead and looked this up on my Bible phone, on my phone, what do you call it? My app. Yeah. Somebody help me. Help me, Jesus. Don't you love it when it just decides it's going to shut down? But it's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't just negotiate the deal. The Holy Spirit seals it too. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me see if my Bible's back up yet on my phone. Ephesians chapter 1. This is not on the screen. Just write this down. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit kind of negotiates this relationship, draws you into a relationship with Jesus, into a relationship with God, and then the Holy Spirit seals it. You're sealed by this Holy Spirit. He is God with us today. He's the one who saves us. He's the one that seals that, and he's also the one who heals us, number three. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God with us today. And the Holy Spirit is the one who heals us. He comes to heal us. Verse 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Remember, it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that heals us, sets us free. You need the Holy Spirit, but too often people are afraid. Why are people afraid of the Holy Spirit? Well, I've already talked about one of them, because he's God. And sometimes we have misunderstandings about God and his personality, and we're afraid. Some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit because way back when the Bible was first translated into English, in the King James, the original King James, instead of translating it Holy Spirit, they translated him Holy what? Ghost. Now back then, particularly back then, people were really afraid of ghosts. But today even, we associate ghost with ghouls and goblins and things to be afraid of. He's not the Holy Ghost. If you say Holy Ghost, I'm not criticizing you. Feel free, say Holy Ghost all you want. I heard one guy one time say, you know, there's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. No. And the reality of it is he's not someone to be afraid of. He is God. But people sometimes are afraid just for that reason alone. He's not a wind. He's not an apparition. He's not a wispy vapor. He's not he's not to be confused with demonic spirits either. He's all powerful. He is God. But here's another reason some people are a little nervous or maybe even afraid of the Holy Spirit. They've seen weird things that have been associated with or attributed to the Holy Spirit. They've seen people in the name of the Holy Spirit do strange and weird things. There's a couple of books out. One is Surprised by the Power of the Spirit, and the other one more recently is The God I Never Knew, and that one's by Robert Morris at Gateway. And I've read that book, and I've listened to him teach, and I've heard him say this before. He said, you know, those people who do weird things in the name of the Holy Spirit probably were weird before. And people giggle at that and laugh at that, but you know what? That's true. And here's another truth. About 1 in 3 people are weird anyway. So look at the person on your left. Look at the person on your right. And if neither of them are weird, then it's probably you, okay? I know when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, when the Holy Spirit fills a person, and there's different ways people say this, when the Holy Spirit baptizes a person, and that is terminology that we use here even in our church, I know that sometimes people can be overwhelmed by His presence, not know how quite to deal with that. And they may weep, or they may cry, they may laugh, or they may just be overjoyed. But I also believe that He brings gifts. And I believe that all of His gifts are real and are relevant and are available today. And sometimes people may speak in another language and we get weirded out by that. Again, I grew up around this stuff, so I just accept it. But you know, we had one family leave our church because she heard me speak in tongues one day when I was praying. And I don't hardly do it very much from the pulpit because, again, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 talks about how we administer those gifts. And so you won't hear that a lot, but in personal times, can I just tell you, I'm like Paul. I speak in tongues more than you all. I usually roll over in bed in the morning. The first thing out of my mouth is not my own language. It's the Spirit of God praying through me. And that weirds people out. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a newness of life, though. That's what Jesus said He's coming to offer. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote about, that all the old has passed. When we become a Christian, all the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. And we're talking about a newness of life. And sometimes we think that's our behavior. And it's not just our behavior. We're talking about a completely different life, a supernatural life. And so this stuff is kind of strange in the natural. In the natural, the stuff that we're talking about, the stuff of the Holy Spirit, is a little different. It's a little strange to people who don't understand on the outside. And it's not that we're insiders and we have it all figured out either, because can I just tell you, I've seen a lot of people who are Spirit-filled Christians who have different kinds of gifts just oozing out of them, and yet they are still emotionally immature babies. And the Holy Spirit wants to heal us completely, help us to become spiritually and emotionally mature. And so don't get caught up in all the weirdness, and don't get caught up in the strangeness that could happen at times, because we all need the Holy Spirit to do more in our lives than just give us a gift. The greatest gift He brings is freedom and healing. It starts with salvation. And so I've talked a lot in the past. I've done series, I've done messages in the past on not just the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but a lot on the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. If you want to turn over there, you can do that, because I'm going to read there in just a minute. But I've always, and I'm going to say always, I have for the most part hung out on behavior. When I've talked about the fruits of the Spirit, when I've talked about what happens when we live in our flesh, the fruits of the flesh, in other words, when I've talked about these things, I've usually approached it from the behavior side of things, and how we ought to live now, and how we ought to act, and how we ought to, the rights and the wrongs in our life. Listen today, I started reading this with new eyes. Saying, God, help me to see more that you want to do here. Because you want me to get close to you. You're my healer. And your presence with me now is the Holy Spirit. So that means that the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to come and heal me on the inside for this emotional maturity and healing that I need in my life. But as I was studying about the presence of the Holy Spirit, I started seeing that these things that are mentioned here really, they do somehow or some way affect our behavior and the things that we do and the things that we don't do, the things that we should do and things we shouldn't do. But they're really emotional in nature. They really are emotional in nature. So I'm going to challenge you this morning as I read through this list in the scriptures here in Galatians chapter 5. I want to challenge you to think about this in terms of your emotions and how this affects you emotionally. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness." How many of you would agree that somebody who practices those things probably is not very healthy on the inside? Something's not quite right on the inside. If you relate to these things, you say, I'm struggling in some of these areas today, just don't hear me condemn you again. Hear the Holy Spirit trying to convince you that you need God in your life to help you to mature and grow, okay? But how many of you would agree that people who practice those things that I just listed probably have some inner turmoil going on inside of them? Would you agree with that? Emotionally, spiritually, yes. Verse 20. The works of the flesh continue. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Hatred. Did you hear that word? Hatred. Contentions. That's a fun one. Don't you just love contentious people? Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Heresies. Now, come on. People who practice those things, maybe something on the inside not quite right. Would you agree? Would you agree? Something emotionally going on the inside that's not quite healthy. Let's look on. Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Would you not agree that every one of these things represents, it's not just behaviors we're talking about, but we're talking about somebody who's probably got some things going on the inside of them that they need help with, that they need healed. Would you agree? I'm asking you today, would anybody just totally disagree with me? I don't know how I'm going to respond if you do. I'm going to say you need inner healing. There's a new thing on BBC, and it's one of these animal documentary things called Dynasty. And last week they followed a lion dynasty. This week, just last night, it was a chimpanzee, and he was the leader of this chimpanzee. What do you call him? He was the alpha. Yes, he was the alpha male of this chimpanzee tribe, huh? Pack, horde, herd, flock. I don't know. I don't know what you call it, but this family of chimpanzees, and it was one of the, when you think of chimpanzees, you're like me, you think, again, Tarzan. I talked about Tarzan last week, but you think about little Bubbles the chimp or whatever, sign language chimps, and how cute they are, and how, yeah, we agree that they have human-like qualities, right? And they're kind of cool, and they're kind of fun, and they're funny. Man, when you see them actually in the wild and how vicious they really are, especially towards their own, you think, and that's who our culture at least tells us we evolved from. No wonder we're messed up. But I was watching this last night on TV. This is just last night, and I just looked at my wife and I said, after a pretty vicious attack that left one of them for dead, I mean, I could go, I don't want to go into more detail because it was graphic. And I just looked at her and I said, they really could use some inner healing. If you think you evolved from animals, yeah, you're going to need some inner healing. And that's what people who practice these things need. They need that inner healing. But let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit now. It says this big list that I just listed, the works of the flesh, can be associated with inner healing, can be associated with emotional needs or depravity. And people who practice those things, there's depression, there's bitterness, there's anger, there's fearfulness, there's insecurity, and they're all really in need of inner healing. What is God's answer? I really do believe it's the fruit of the Spirit. This is the health food that we need. My wife and I are thinking about this new year. We're talking about eating healthier. And she said to me yesterday as we were walking down the street, she said, maybe we should just go ahead and just not eat sugars anymore. And I said, get behind me, Satan. But really, we need health food. We need health food. And this is the health food that God brings to our inner spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Again, associate this not with behavior as much as with emotion now. Your inner health and your inner healing. You say, I like that. I like that part of the list. I like love, joy, and peace. I need that. That's some tasty fruit. That's some sweet fruit. That's like apples and watermelon. That's like bananas and oranges. I like that kind of fruit. That's good fruit. But wait, there's more. There's patience and kindness and goodness. Or righteousness, right living. Oh, wait. Now that fruit's a little bit different. It's a little bitter. That's like grapefruit. That's like lemons. That's sour. I'm not sure I like that fruit very much. You know, you say I need it. Okay. Maybe I'll add a little sugar and make some lemonade, you know. But there's still more. There's faithfulness. That's steadfastness. That's honesty. That's integrity. It's vulnerability, in other words. There's gentleness. That's not losing your temper and flying off the handle all the time. And then there's self-control. Whoa. I think I'm allergic to that fruit. I like these other ones. I'll take those. And God's saying, no, you need all of these. And yeah, you might be allergic to it at first. It doesn't taste that good sometimes. How many of you ever really gone off on somebody, just flew off in a fit of rage and it felt good at first? Come on, be honest. And you that felt good. But then afterwards, you kind of regretted it. There's nobody in here that needs inner healing more than me. A close second is, no. But all of these things are emotional, really, in nature, and they make up the personality of God. Think about it. If the Holy Spirit is God, and this is the fruit of the Spirit, then God is love, joy, peaceful. He's patient. He's kind. He's good. He's faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful? He's gentle. He doesn't fly off the handle. And He has self-control. These are qualities of God's nature. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, He doesn't just want to give you a feel-good experience or a weird experience or a strange experience. And He does want to bring gifts into your life, but He also wants to heal you on the inside. He wants to manifest His nature, His character, His attitude, His emotion in us. That's what the Holy Spirit brings. In closing today, I know that I've got a little long here, but I could probably do a whole series on this. But the Holy Spirit, again, throughout Scripture, often is compared to oil. He's compared to oil. And in biblical days, oil was used for different things. Oil was used, I think I have a list here. It was used in food. Again, we're talking about nourishing. And it was used, particularly olive oil, was used in food. And there was a nourishing thing. The Holy Spirit nourishes us, opens our eyes to God's Word, which is the bread of life to us, open our eyes to the fruit that need to be on display in our lives. Oil was also used in healing balms. And so the Holy Spirit really is the one who comes to heal us on the inside, I believe on the outside as well. Oil was used in lamps to bring light. The Holy Spirit comes and He sheds light into those dark areas of our life that sometimes we don't want anybody to see, especially God. But He's there not to, again, condemn. He's not there to judge. He's there to help us, even in those darkest areas, in those darkest moments in our life, to shed light on it, so that we can find the healing, the vulnerability and the healing that we need before God. But what about today? What do we use oil for? We use it in our car engines. And if it's not there, what happens? Some of my car people, Chris, are you in here, or is he maybe doing? They tend to blow up, yes. When we don't have oil in our engine, it tends to blow up and die. Now, how many of you in here, I said this already, how many of you in here have ever gone off and just lost your temper or just something like that? Either you're going to blow up or you're just going to die inside. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to keep from happening in your life. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit to bring light into our life, to bring healing, to bring that nourishment and that strength. But we need Him in our lives to keep us from blowing up and dying on the inside. That's really what the Holy Spirit comes to do. And I really think some of you in here today, you have been driving for a while now in desperate need of an oil change. That's really the whole thing the Holy Spirit sent me here to say today. Some of you in here have been coasting a long time on something that happened way back in 1970-something or 1980-something or maybe even just a couple of years ago. But how many know you can't even go a couple of years without an oil change? Well, some of you might have, and God bless you. But you're truly driving on a wing and a prayer. But the reality is we need it regularly. I took my daughter's car in just two days ago for an oil change because it was time, you know. And some of us have never had the Holy Spirit really come and fill our life. But some of us, it happened way back when, and that's been it. And you've just been kind of running on vapors, running on fumes. And you need the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your life. So I want to pray for you today. I want to ask you to stand up. You can close your Bibles if you turn off your apps or put away your notes for just a minute and stand. Lord, what are you saying? Through your Holy Spirit today, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? Just ask him that today. Say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life today? What are you speaking to me about this? Because, Lord, we need you. We need your presence. Just like they needed it in the Old Testament, just like they needed you during those gospel books of the Bible when Jesus, you were here, you still were being led by the Holy Spirit. And even today, Lord, you said, it is a good thing that you go away because then your Spirit is going to come. We need you here with us today. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to us? What do you want to do in our life? I would like to encourage you right now just to kind of open yourself up a little bit. It may even be as freeing to just open your hands up a little bit like you're going to receive and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you today. Holy Spirit, come. We've sung songs about you today. But we need you in our life. We really need you in our life. And we say, come and fill us. If you've never received that initial filling, that initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, ask him to come and fill your life right now. Holy Spirit, come and fill lives today. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but maybe you've just kind of neglected that, you need an oil change today. You need to be filled again. You need him to daily fill your life. I know for me, it's more than daily. For me, it's often moment by moment throughout my day. I had a moment yesterday where I was feeling frustrated and I was getting a little upset. And I knew in that moment what I really needed was the Holy Spirit to just calm me and to heal me and to breathe in me his characteristics, to breathe into me his personality, his patience, his kindness, his goodness. For me, it's a moment-to-moment thing throughout my day. Holy Spirit, fill every life in this place. In Jesus' name. I want to ask our prayer leaders to come make their way to the front here. These leaders are going to be here to pray with you as we close this service this morning. There may be some of you in here today who say, I've really never come to Jesus. I need that grace. I need that grace of salvation. I need that gift. I need to make him Lord of my life. I want to invite you to come and receive prayer today and just make that commitment before the Lord. Just take one of these leaders by the hand and let them pray for you. There may be some of you in here today, though, you say, I've never really had that initial filling of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that comes just with the laying on of hands. And these leaders here today, they can just take you by the hand, or they can lay their hand on you. And there's nothing magical about that. It's just a point of contact where the Spirit of God that is in them comes and rests and resides in you as well. And you need to be filled with the Spirit. You can come and receive that today. If you need prayer for anything else in your life, they're here to pray with you. It may be your health. It may be your finances. It may be relationship in your life. Anything at all. Please come and receive the prayer that you need today. The rest of you here today, I just want to ask you, are you walking in the Spirit of God? Because if you are walking in the Spirit, you will not be doing the works of the flesh. And I want to move this out of the behavior and into the emotional. God wants to do a healing work in your life. Let Him do that this week. Lord, I pray Your blessing on Your people this week. They receive more of Your presence, more of Your Spirit that is with us now. And God, that You will change us from the inside out. Heal us on the inside. And Lord, I pray, Father, that that will be manifested even in our outside, even on our behavior, even in everything we do in our life. You'll heal our hearts in Jesus' name. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.